Thank you. I want to talk specifically about how the free trade area of the Americas is going to affect women's concerns and also social development issues. Now, you may already know that the UN said that women are 70% of the world's poorest citizens. So out of the very poorest, when we know the trade agreements affect poor communities, poor women are often going to be affected even worse. And there are a couple reasons for this. One is because of women's caring labor, what we call the care economy, women's work providing for their children and their families, taking care of the household, doing that kind of very important and valuable labor that is invisible in economic policies. It's an externalized cost, if you will, and it is invaluable. The United Nations estimated if we paid people for this labor, women would earn globally $11 trillion a year for all their unpaid work that they do. Now, when costs are cut by the government, women end up picking up that burden and doing double duty, trying to make ends meet. There are also social and cultural reasons. Throughout the world, women have less access to education, to equal decision-making within their home, to land, and to credit. So they don't have the same opportunities men have, even in an unfair trade game. And they're considered still secondary wage earners, which means that managers can pay women less money than men for the same kind of job, and women are the last hired and the first fired in jobs. We've seen throughout the world women earn less and continue to work in jobs where they have no opportunities to advance and in jobs that are considered feminine types of jobs in many communities. And trade agreements will just exacerbate that. Women's Edge has been working with more than 45 organizations throughout the Americas, throughout the hemisphere. And through this collaboration and critique, we've agreed that overwhelmingly we believe the women's wages will fall and their workloads are going to double. Now, McCain is going to talk about agriculture and what happens when trade agreements like the FTAA promote corporate farming at the expense of family farms. One result of that is when family farms cannot compete, other members of the household have to go out and look for work. Oftentimes, that means women have to go out and find paid work if the family farm is in pain. Now, one of these paid jobs is working on farms as paid laborers. In Colombia, Colombia is the second largest exporter of flowers to the United States in the world. 80,000 women work in Colombia picking and planting and cutting flowers for us to buy. Now, these women work with pesticides every day and certainly without any health or safety standards. As a result, there have been many miscarriages. Women have been prone to nervous problems, to asthma, and to a higher rate of cancer than in other places. This kind of export farming for cash crops has also affected the water table in the country because they've diverted water for the community to pay for water for the cash crops for the farming, and the water that's left has been found to be riddled with pesticides. The FTAA, as you all probably know, is negotiated by trade policymakers who not only won't meet with you today, they won't meet or hear from most civil society members. The trade policymakers are talking to big businesses quite frequently. They're allowed to meet in the same forums, but they are not listening to civil society groups, and they're goal is to expand trade and not look at social and environmental issues. The agreement is between 34 countries in the Western Hemisphere and is going to be concluded in 2005. Now, the agreement affects many aspects of our lives. I mean, I briefly mentioned agriculture. As Tom mentioned, one of the areas that affects all of us is what is called services. And the FTA has a large section on services. And when you think of services, this means almost anything you can't drop on your foot is a service. We're talking about healthcare, we're talking about education, we're talking about electricity, we're talking about water. And the free trade area of the Americas will allow corporations to buy and sell these basic human needs the same way they sell tennis shoes. It will basically look at things like subsidies, which help the poor afford healthcare and education, and consider these barriers to trade, because this does not allow the market, the invisible hand of the market, to set the perfect price. So these are considered trade barriers and could be wiped out. Now, we've seen when these things happen, women are affected particularly. With the International Monetary Fund and World Bank, as workers, when services have been privatized, women workers have often been the first people cut. When you think about good middle-class jobs for people, you think about nurses, you think about teachers, you think about medical assistants. And in Nicaragua, 70% of the first people fired were women when the government cut these services. This also affects people as consumers. Of course, we all need health care. We all need education. We all need water. It's a matter of life and death. And again, when you remove these subsidies, the rich will really suffer, and the corporations will make a profit by marketing to the rich. But the poor will see their rates rise. And, for example, in Bolivia, where they've already privatized water, the water bills rose for the poor by 400%. One woman who was a mother of four saw her water bill go from $5 a month to $20 a month. That extra $15 was what it cost her to feed her family for a week and a half. So she had to make some very difficult decisions about how much to feed her family versus how much, whether to pay her water bill. These are not choices any of us should have to make. And the agreement is going to force many people to make these kinds of life and death choices and reduce the role of the state in providing for its citizens, hire it off, shove it off to corporations to do, who are really only interested in making a profit. Another area that it's going to affect are more local concerns. Again, Tom talked about democracy. And as citizens, we have the right to vote in and approve local laws and ordinances that support our values and our vision of how our state and our city should be run. But the Free Trade Area of the Americas has a section on government purchasing, the way governments make purchases and decisions. And this agreement says that the only decision-making you should use when deciding who to hire to do contracts for you, who to hire for construction, is what the lowest price is. So laws that, for example, support hiring local workers from the city, laws that say you should hire or contract with women and minority-owned businesses, laws that say you should buy fairly traded products or environmental products, could all be challenged, could all be struck down because they could be seen as barriers to trade. They are seen as irrelevant because the price is the only thing you're supposed to use to decide. And, for example, I live in Baltimore, Maryland. And in Baltimore, they've passed a city ordinance which requires contracts of over $25,000. If you're bidding on a city contract of $25,000 or more, you have to subcontract or partner with a women or minority-owned business as much as possible. This ordinance could be struck down because corporations will say, well, that has nothing to do with trade. The only thing you need to look at is what the cost is, the bottom line cost. So we're talking about not only decisions being made that affect us in other places and affect us in terms of solidarity and affect the poor, but also fundamentally decisions that wrest away control from us, from local rules and policies that reflect our values as citizens in the United States. And we have visions, as Tom said, we have alternatives, and we've been working hemispherically to fight these kinds of trade policies that don't reflect the values of everyone in this room, and that reflect only the values of corporations and policymakers who aren't listening to us right now. We have a few years to work to make sure that they hear us, that they listen to us, and that they change these trade policies so that they reflect a vision of trade that we all believe in and that we all share, that represents our values, one that's just and sustainable and supports the majority of people in this country and throughout the hemisphere. Thanks.